Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
A close encounter of the vegetable kind, or is it a fruit? Watching your life flash by as tomatoes crash into your windshield and wondering, why is the tomato so tasteless? When tomatoes attack, coming up after headlines. So with us now, Barry Estabrook. Barry, good morning.
Morning.
You're the author of the new book, Tomato Land. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. And I just want to check this origination story with you, because as, from what I understand from your book, is that you had a near-death experience caused by tomatoes.
I did.
And your question when you walked away from this, safe and sound, was, why are tomatoes so bland?
Well, what happened was a tomato nearly flew through my windshield off the back of a truck, a tomato truck load in Florida. And it missed, but it hit the pavement on the interstate highway, and it survived.
It didn't just survive. It had no dent, not a dent in it.
Exactly. It was as if a baseball had flown off a truck. It hit the pavement, bounced once, and rolled toward the ditch. I grow tomatoes in my own garden, and I'm lucky to pick one and get it up to the house without it cracking.
Yeah.
And I thought, what has agriculture done to this wonderful fruit to make it such a rock-hard, tasteless would be a compliment in some cases, orb?
We should just settle an extraordinarily controversial point right now, Barry, and that is whether or not the tomato is a fruit or a vegetable. The fact is, science says the tomato is a fruit.
Well, the tomato is a fruit, but in its wisdom, back in the late 1800s, the United States Supreme Court declared it a vegetable. And in fact, the United States Department of Agriculture lists it among the vegetables when it does its reports. So you can have it either way.
Yeah, well, it's used as a vegetable in cooking, but it's actually a fruit.
Right.
Also with us this morning, Harry Cleaves, a professor of molecular biology at the University of Florida. Harry, this story about a tomato bouncing off a windshield at full speed and then remaining intact, does this surprise you?
Oh, not at all. I'm totally not surprised.
Why? What have we done to our poor tomato?
Well, you have to understand that the tomato industry is designed to provide the tomato year-round to consumers. And you up in New York want your tomatoes in January, and somebody has to get them there. So they've been bred over the last 30 or 40 years for shelf life and shipability. And it's as simple as that, and that's come at the expense of flavor.
And Barry, that's one of your problems. You were just talking about the tomatoes you grow in your garden. The tomatoes you grow in your garden taste very different, I imagine, than those that you might buy at the store.
Well, of course. I mean, any garden growing, my cabbages probably taste better than the ones you get at the store. But I think that very few, if any, produce items have suffered quite so much as the tomato at the hands of industrial farming methods.
All right, that's Barry Estabrook. He is the author of this great new book. It's called Tomato Land. And also with us, Harry Klee, professor of molecular biology at the University of Florida. You know, Harry, let's talk about the taste of the fruit, the tomato, because I'm being kind of amused about it. But actually, this is kind of serious science in terms of what we put into our bodies. Tomatoes are in a lot of different foods, including a lot of the burgers people buy at fast food places. And I don't think people realize how scientifically altered they are.
Yeah, I mean, basically what's happened over the last 50 years of intensive breeding is that the tomato, all of the ingredients in the tomato, flavor compounds as well as many nutrients, have just been diluted out because of the emphasis on yield. And, you know, the bottom line here is the farmer's not paid to produce a tomato that tastes good. He's paid to produce pounds of round red objects, and that's how the financial system works.
You know, Barry, your book, which is fascinating, the subtitle of it is How Modern Industrial Agriculture Destroyed Our Most Alluring Fruit. We're focusing right now on taste and genetic modifications, but your book also goes into things like the labor conditions on farms that end up on our produce shelves at the stores, and also the pesticides that are used. Could you explain?
Well, it was taste that drew me to the tomato, but I was down in Florida a few years ago starting the research, and this slavery case came to light. And we're not talking about slavery-like or near slavery. It was abject slavery. People were kept in chains. They were beaten if they refused to work. They were, in some cases, threatened with death if they tried to escape, and they received no money. They were bought and sold like animals. And I'm thinking, this sounds to me like 1850, not 2009. And it turned out that wasn't an exception. There had, in fact, been 7 slavery cases involving Florida agriculture in the past 15 years, and 1,200 people have been freed.
Well, thinking about that, I imagine that probably does kind of ruin the taste of the tomato that you're eating if you think there's some slave labor conditions have brought it to your produce table. So, Barry, I mean, what is your overall takeaway when you get to your book? What's your recommendation to your readers on how to deal with the modern tomato?
Well, my recommendation is it's the closer a tomato is growing to your back door, the better. If you have a balcony or a little yard and can plant a few tomatoes, you'll get, it's a wonderful, rewarding experience, and you'll get tasty tomatoes. If not, farmers markets, in-season grocery stores when they have local tomatoes, if you emphasize that, you'll get a tomato that tastes better. You'll get a tomato that's more nutritious, and you reduce dramatically the chances that the person who picked it was in slavery or another form of abusive labor.
That's Barry Esterbrook. He's the author of the new book, Tomato Land. Also, Harry Klee is with us, professor of molecular biology at the University of Florida. Harry Klee, what's your advice? Is this the same as what you just heard from Barry?
Well, we're working hard to try and improve the quality of the average industrial tomato, but it's going to take us years. If you want a good-tasting tomato, you're going to have to buy it in season, and most people in the United States are not willing to make that sacrifice. There are a few good brands of tomatoes out there that are produced under very specific conditions that taste okay, but the reality is, yes, if you want a great-tasting tomato, you're going to have to grow it yourself or get it locally. Only in season.
What if you buy a really expensive tomato? What if you're buying fresh Roma tomatoes or beefsteak tomatoes, and you assume that cost means that they're made under not sort of mass production rules?
In general, I mean, you can buy really good tasting tomatoes at most upscale markets, but you're going to pay $5 a pound.
Yeah.
And most people don't want to do that.
Or can't.
or can't. That's right.
All right. Harry Klee is a professor of molecular biology at the University of Florida. Barry Esterbrook, we have about 20 seconds left. What's the best tasting tomato?
Well, my vote is a Brandywine tomato. It's a big, old, lumpy, ugly heirloom variety that comes right out of my garden, but you couldn't ship that more than 100 yards.
Dang it, because I was going to ask you to ship them to the takeaway. Barry Esterbrook is the author of Tomato Land, How Modern Industrial Agriculture Destroyed Our Most Alluring Fruit. Thank you both. We want to ask you not just about tomatoes today, but about the economic picture in the country. We've had very bad employment numbers. And there's, meanwhile, a stalemate in Washington over the debt ceiling. Do you think Capitol Hill's focused on the right priorities?
This is Rich from Rhode Island. Instead of worrying about the wattage on the light bulbs we use, why don't we start worrying about making that energy more efficient?
Good point, Rich. What do you think? What should the lawmakers be worried about right now? Give us your take. 8778-MY-TAKE or text the word START. 269-866. You can catch up with any stories that you've heard today or all this week as we focus on unemployment by visiting us at our website at thetakeaway.org. John Hockenberry's out all this week. I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.